Our story today is of Jesus and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Can you hear me okay? Put up your hand if you cannot hear me. Put up your hand if you can hear me. Okay, thank you. Something just don't sound right. I knocked this thing off my head, so that might be why it sounded different to me. All right. Our story today is of Jesus and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We are about 3 years now as we come to this story of Jesus' public ministry. For 3 years, he has walked and talked and led and called and preached and taught and healed and done amazing miracles. It's been an amazing 3 years of ministry as we come to this story where this rabbi from the relatively obscure town of Nazareth at the time, fully God and fully man, has engaged, he's studied, and he's interacted with mankind. And 3 years later, we come to this story. It's been an incredible time of God being present with man through Jesus. Experiencing Jesus did in those 3 years, we're told every emotion, every temptation. He's lived life as a Jewish man, as a baby, as a boy, as a teenager, as a young man. He's experienced the emotions and the temptations that would come to us. And he knows that soon it's coming to a conclusion, this incredible time in ministry. Who is this Jesus? We know that he's been an incredible teacher. His teaching has just been so deep and amazing as people have heard him say things that seem so obvious and so deep and so true, but yet unheard of before. How he takes history and human nature and the knowledge of the Father and applies it to life in an incredible way. And they've watched this incredible teacher be an incredible miracle worker and watched him as he has done amazing, unbelievable strength and power over nature and over diseases and over demons. And he has been unlike anyone that they have ever experienced before. But also there's an element of him in these 3 years of ministry of compassion that seems to stir the people. And they wonder who he is and how he could have such a heart of love and caring for the people that he has been with. And then, fourthly, who is this Jesus? He's been compared to the greatest of all the Jewish past. I mean, he's compared to the greatest of those from the scriptures, the heroes of old and the prophets. For example, Elijah and Moses and King David and even Abraham and all those people that were so important to the Jewish identity. Jesus is compared to them for these 3 years, and people are saying, well, he's like Elijah, or he reminds us of Father Abraham and different people, and could it be that he's the one, his knowledge and his insight, could it be that God has chosen this one, this man, to be the one to come? The crowds, the disciples have been wondering and asking the questions. The religious leaders have been debating this. Could he be the Messiah? That's the question as we come to the last week of Jesus' life. As we come to look at some of these incredible events of those last 7 days, could he be the Messiah? That's the word going through the minds of many of the people in the crowd on this day of his triumphal entry. Could he be the one that the prophet Isaiah spoke about and that our leaders, our teachers, our rabbis have been saying, when the Messiah comes, he will be like this? Could Jesus be the one fulfilling so many of the writings of old? And some people thought he was, some people thought he wasn't, others are not sure. There's this buzz on the day that Jesus triumphantly comes into Jerusalem about his identity, truly who he is. By this time, Jesus was a movement. He was an incredible force that had taken over his time, and more than any other person in human history. During this 3-year time, Jesus had his personality and his identity and his truth had brought the world to a point of this last week of his life. And it was coming to a tipping point. The 3 years of Jesus, you think of all that he had done and the questions asked of him, who is he? Some said that he was the Son of God. Some were closer to the Old Testament prophecies, and they were amazed at how Jesus seemed to be the one that was foretold by so many. Others were not sure. Other prophecies were yet to be worked out. But all of them were bringing the people to this question that demanded an answer. Who is Jesus and why is he here? Is he from God? And is he who he claims he is? There also at the same time is that growing conflict, that conflict where the battle lines are becoming clearer and clearer over the 3 years, the struggle against some of the religious leaders, and even they've threatened to kill him. They've tried to arrest him, and they've tried their best to silence him, and as they continue to do that, the conflict meter is just going higher and higher, and it's coming to a place, it's coming to a boil. In John chapter 12, it's interesting that there's two verses, they're 5 verses apart, and in them they show us a little bit, go on to that next one, would you? They show us a little bit the two sides of how people were seeing Jesus. Verse 37 says, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. So you had these people who did not believe that he was the Messiah. They did not believe that he was more than an interesting person. And then 5 verses later, you have this verse. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. You had this cauldron of beliefs and thoughts about who Jesus is and what he was and what he came to do. And then you add all this and the day and the time is the Passover. When we read our story in just a moment, it is the time of the Passover, that very important identity time for God's people. In Jesus' day, the Passover was about, among other things, sin and sacrifice and being right with God. So when you hear the term Passover, it does mean many things, but one of the things it means is it was a time when people came to reckon, they came to think about sin. They came to think about a holiness of God in their lives and where they've been and what's happened to them. And so Passover, among other things, represented for them a time to think about what it meant to be right with God. All Jewish men were required to come to Jerusalem if they were able to and bring their families, and many did. But they knew that this was a time to connect to God about sin and about their lives. In Jerusalem, there was this great number of people and forces and opinions and cultures. And so there was tension and all kinds of different people and what they thought were coming to Jerusalem. And the city was full. There was this Jewish identity. There were the Romans who occupied and they were hated. And some people wanted to try to fight them, and they became brutal, and they had to put down those that did. And so Jerusalem was this amazing cauldron of people as Jesus comes in the last week of his life. It was crowded with people who had religious fervor and opinions and passion and militancy. And into this cauldron of Holy Week, Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He knew the end was near. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey, he knew that this was it. This was his last trip. This was his last time to come to the city. He had been to Jerusalem many times before. He had been to Jerusalem for the Passover before, but this was different. And so when we read these words from Luke chapter 19, think of the amazing atmosphere that was in that city and thinking about who Jesus was. As we think about the identity of Jesus and what we believe about him, listen to the fervor of the people. Chapter 19, verse 28, I'm going to begin reading there of the Gospel of Luke. It says, After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes.'" In this story are all kinds of emotions and opinions and reactions. Right here in verse 41, we read the second time that we read of in the story of Jesus of his great feelings. It says that he wept. As he came into Jerusalem and he looked over the city, Jesus had all kinds of thoughts and feelings about what he saw, what he had experienced, and what he was going to go through. It's amazing what Jesus had going on inside of him, having full knowledge of what this week would be. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, it says, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?'" Not only going on inside Jesus was this great passion and compassion and emotion, but it says the whole city was wondering, "Who is this?" We might think, well, it was only a few people on the road from Jerusalem to Bethany that experienced the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, but it would seem like everyone knew that Jesus was coming. The word had gone out before. They were stirred. They were asking, "Who is Jesus? Why is he here?" And we should think and ask that same question in our lives. What's the role of Jesus in my life? What is it that Jesus wants to do in my life? You imagine the excitement of the people who had watched him and heard him and been touched by him, been healed by him, whose brother or cousin or someone had encountered Jesus and Jesus had healed them. I mean, it's like everybody knew who Jesus was when he came into the city. Can you imagine the excitement? In addition to the Passover that I've already described as being this great crowd, the city is packed and full. But the second thing going on here was the anticipation about Jesus. Everybody knew who Jesus was. He had single-handedly touched probably tens of thousands of people in Israel. It's hard to know when you count the Gospels. Well, how many people did he encounter here? And how many people here? And how many people here? And how many people? I don't know how many it was. But it may possibly have been that there wasn't anybody in Israel who was out and about who had not heard of who Jesus was and heard the stories. For example, five times in the Gospels is the story told of Jesus feeding the 5,000 in three of the accounts and 4,000 in a different story. I mean, right there, think of all the people who had personally encountered the miracle of Jesus. And those that had heard the stories of Jesus walking on the water and Jesus turning the water into wine and all the people that were sick. And several times in the Gospels, it says that all the people were brought to Jesus from the town and he laid his hands on them and healed them. I mean, I don't think it's like just a few people in Israel had encountered who Jesus was in his day. I think probably literally everybody, most everybody, again, who was out and about would have known who Jesus was. And would also sense this coming together of these forces and And whether they sensed spiritually, I'm not sure, but they had to know the tension that was going on with the Pharisees. Every time Jesus, not every time, but many times when Jesus would work a miracle, those religious leaders, some of them whose hearts were not right, were always there right at Jesus, and they could feel the tensions. They knew what happened to people that crossed the wrong people, and they also knew that this cauldron of the Roman and the occupation and how they didn't want any trouble. They didn't want any flare-ups, and so the people knew that when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, that it was big and it was amazing and it was incredible. He was no obscure teacher anymore. He had become something more. And for many of them, he had become the Messiah. For many of those people on that day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were beginning to see him. Now, they didn't understand what the Messiah was or how he was going to be the Messiah, because they got that wrong. They wanted this strong leader to stand up and take control of everything. And that's not what Jesus' mission was. It was unclear for them what it meant that he would be the Messiah, but the masses were putting their interest and hopes on who Jesus was. The masses of people in Israel had their eyes on Jesus. And add to this another dynamic, another piece of it. Only a few days before this story, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Think about that and the impact on the minds of people. Do you think, how quickly would that spread, that story? I mean, think of it, 4 days in the grave. I mean, Lazarus dying was like everybody dies, you know, and that's not uncommon. The fact that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were friends of Jesus and he had been there many times, you know, that was probably interesting. And a lot of people in the area knew that Jesus was friends of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. But 4 days later, Jesus comes and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And imagine how that story spread. Now, this is just 2 or 3 days before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Imagine how quickly, I mean, that's just not a miracle that you go home and say, well, that was nice, you know. Boy, you imagine what the people were saying about Jesus then? Lazarus, come forth, and how Lazarus came out of the tomb. And just add that to this mix of Jerusalem and the excitement of the Passover and all the culminating events of Jesus coming there. And then add to that the story of Lazarus from the dead. Imagine what they sense. John chapter 12, verse 17 speaks of what happened after this. It says, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. I mean, that's just a little description, but boy, they continue to spread the word. So you have all these people in Jerusalem that have heard, some have witnessed, but many have heard about how Jesus has the power over death and resurrection. Add that to it. And Jesus' anticipation on this day was incredible. Jesus knew that the end was near. He knew that he had to go to Jerusalem. He knew that Jerusalem was the place that would bring about the events that had been unfolded for him from the Father from eternity past. Jesus knew that Jerusalem was a place that he had to be. He knew what he was going to face there, and he knew that it was coming. And so Jesus didn't go into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and thinking, all these people are worshiping me and praising me and how wonderful this is. I believe Jesus went into Jerusalem with a very heavy heart, knowing what was going to happen. He knew that it would be the moment of truth for him when he stepped into Jerusalem this time. He had been to Jerusalem, like I said, many times before, but this trip would be different. This would be his last Passover. This would be his last year, his last month, his last week that he would be in Jerusalem. Jesus also knew how stirred up the crowds were. He knew what they were saying and what they were expecting, and he knew how they were crying out for him and proclaiming him as Messiah, and he knew what their hopes were, their expectations. He knew that the crowds would not leave him alone. He knew that everywhere he went, they would come to him And they would surround him and seek him out and latch onto him. And every time he did that, he was healing people. And he knew that the crowds would always be there to find him, to seek him out. Everywhere he went, they came to him. And on this day, they were openly, loudly proclaiming him to be the Messiah. The words that they use here, Hosanna, the Son of David. Well, the term the Son of David was a Messiah term. That's what an Old Testament prophet said they would call the Messiah. So it wasn't that people were just kind of hinting at it. At this point, they were saying, he's the Messiah. He's our Messiah. He's the one that had been fully proclaimed. Again, probably everybody in Jerusalem had heard that term that day. They knew that Jesus was coming, and they knew that many believed that he was Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They knew he was a descendant of David. They would have known, most every Jew would have known exactly what that meant, that the Messiah had to be from the tribe of David. And he's proclaimed as from the tribe of David. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Listen, for all the miracles they had seen. Again, the crowds, what they viewed about Jesus was partially and much way about his miracles. Because of his miracles, they believed in him. And when your faith is only on the miracles of God and not the truth of God, who God is and his identity, then that faith can be drawn away. Jesus not only knew the crowds and what they were saying, but Jesus also knew the enemy. He knew the heart of Judas. He knew those religious leaders that were out to get him. He knew the heart of man. And ultimately, Jesus knew the evil one, and that he was on a course to the cross because of sin and because of his mission in the world. Jesus knew it was time. All things were pointing toward that inevitable moment of the Passover. Passover really was an incredibly important time for the people to reconcile with God and seek God. And it was so meaningful to who they were. And Jesus knows as he approaches that day that God is going to have another meaning for that and reaching of that time. And so as we think about Good Friday and we think about the events of Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion, we remember that this moment, this time, is also for us to think about and dwell on and imagine, what did Jesus do when he went on the cross? What did he do for me? What does he do for us? What does he say to us? More than anything else, Jesus knew his purpose. He knew why. He knew all these things coming together. To us, it's kind of, at least to me, it's interesting to put all these dynamics together. And Jesus went to the cross. But for him, he knew that God was working for that purpose, for the will of the Father, for him to become the sin offering, to become the offering for you and I, that the pain of the world and the sin of the world he went to the cross for. Just as Moses was lifted up, Moses lifted up the servant in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus knew when he came into Jerusalem, all the praise, all the adoration, all the opinions, all the words, he knew that he was going to the cross. And today we remember both the joy and the wonder of the entry, but also the meaning and the depth of Jesus taking those steps down the Mount of Olives and up into the city. And into the city, Jesus would go on that day of celebration, but he would go there because he had a purpose. And that purpose was for you and I. On Triumphal Sunday, I want us to think this morning as we close about why Jesus died for us. Think about that with me this morning, the meaning of Jesus going to the cross and how much God loved us, that Jesus would go through all of this and that he would know what was going to happen, he would willingly go there for us. Would you stand together as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, the story of the triumphal entry has so many different pieces to it and parts to it that we think about and we remember, and the excitement and parts of the story that we might not have mentioned today, but that are interesting. But Lord God, I just imagine as Jesus heard all of that acclamation and all the excitement and all the affirmation that he was thinking about why he was there and what it meant. I pray, God, that as we go through Holy Week, that we would not too quickly pass over the events of Good Friday, but God, we would see Jesus as the Lamb of God, that we would see him as that Lamb symbolically that whose blood was shed, and for us, Jesus died for our sins. Help us to remember that and be thankful for that, and God, worship him and believe in him, and Lord, trust him and see the power of the resurrection through the wonder of Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the privilege of worship today, of seeing Jesus, of seeing who he is. May we hold it dear to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here.